This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, a Muslim Democratic congresswoman from Michigan, is going to be allowed to visit Israel after all, as she was planning to on Sunday. Officials there have decided to let her enter the West Bank on humanitarian grounds one day after Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, had said she and fellow Democratic congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota would not be allowed to visit. Retired NASCAR superstar Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his family survive a fiery plane crash in East Tennessee. The sheriff there says the plane burst into flames after rolling off the end of the runway.
The nose of the plane and the door were intact. Beyond that, it's pretty much destroyed.
A coroner says the gunman in the shootings in Dayton that left 9 people dead was on cocaine at the time. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug. Is that your pet Emu?
He's my partner, Limu. And we're here to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
So is he only an Emu because it rhymes with Limu, as in Liberty Mutual?
Well, I wouldn't.
So this is just a clever way to get people to remember Liberty Mutual, huh?
Kinda.
Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
President Trump on the campaign trail in New Hampshire last evening. Here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
Now, during his remarks in Manchester, the president tackles what he believes is the Democratic agenda.
The radical Democrats are trying to tear America apart. They vilify anyone who doesn't share their extreme views.
Trump pointing out a heckler who interrupts his speech.
That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home. Start exercising.
There's a report that a busy Manhattan subway station's been evacuated a short time ago because of unconfirmed reports that a couple of pressure cookers may have been found. Authorities are still on scene of the Fulton Street station. Thousands of Elvis fans have converged on Graceland as Elvis Presley died 42 years ago today. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
The Trump administration has to provide basic hygiene items like soap and toothpaste to kids in migrant detention facilities in the state of Texas. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upholding a lower court ruling yesterday from 2017 that the government is required to provide those hygiene items, adequate sleeping conditions, food and water to children held at detention centers in the Rio Grande Valley. Newark, New Jersey's problem with lead in its drinking water is continuing. New testing shows the 40,000 water filters handed out last fall to protect against lead contamination may not be doing the job. They're the same as the ones that were used in Flint, Michigan during that water crisis. Newark's been handing out bottled water, including thousands of cases that were past the best buy date before swapping them out for fresher cases of water. And the Federal Communications Commission is fining the Jimmy Kimmel Live show on ABC $395,000 for using fake alert tones during a sketch on the program. Kimmel broadcast them as part of the skit that made fun of the presidential alert test. Well, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, we've got lots to talk about and get you up to date right away on. And we're going to start off with Michael Rubin, the resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute and former Pentagon official. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Boy, lots to cover. Let's go right to Israel right away here. Tlaib and Omar, they had an opportunity, from what I understand from Israeli officials, they invited them to, you know, hey, let's give you our side of the story here. And let us show you how well we're treating the Palestinians. And from what I understand, they rejected that. And they said, no, we just want to we want to do our own thing here. And then the next thing was we hear from Bibi Netanyahu, well, we'd rather you not come, right?
Yeah, that's basically what happened. But behind the scenes, I think Israel's well within its rights to deny them entry, although I also believe that it was unwise tactically. But in talking with Israeli contacts of mine, the biggest concern was what began as a personal visit morphed into something more. And on one hand, that's okay. But on the other hand, Tlaib and Omar were refusing to coordinate with Israeli security. And the Israeli security, look, they, for any visiting dignitary, for any visiting congressman, whatever their views, it's just standard protocol. You coordinate with the country in which you're going. Because they refused to do this, the whole trip became very, very dangerous. And they basically said, look, you have to play by the rules.
Exactly. Well, even if you're a normal citizen, Michael, the scrutiny I had to go through, you know, to be allowed in. I mean, it's not a given just because you have a plane ticket that you're going to get there. I mean, this is why Israel has been noted, because of the security, that they, you know, that they take seriously, you know, not only for the fellow passengers, but their citizens as well because of all the attacks that, you know, randomly occur there even still.
Well, that's absolutely true, Bill. Look, the problem wasn't with the congressman. No one really expects the congressmen are going to go off and do something directly. There was some concern about what, how many aides the congressman would be bringing, who they would be. If you want special if you want to avoid special scrutiny, what you have to do is deal with this in advance. And again, they were refusing to coordinate. One of the other elements of hypocrisy here, however, especially in Great Britain, to some extent in the United States as well, is during the Obama administration, the United States denied an Israeli member of the Knesset a visa to come to the United States simply because they found that members' views to be atrocious. They believe that Israeli official was racist. At the same time, the British, as you know, have refused to blacklisted American talk show hosts for their political views as well. And so for the world, for Democrats, for the British Labour Party to signal, single out Israel on this is the ultimate hypocrisy, and it reinforces what Israel says, that they are held to an unfair standard.
Without a doubt. Michael, for the audience's sake, they've heard a lot about BDS. Some still do not quite understand the BDS movement, what it's all about. Update them on that.
Okay, well, the BDS stands for Boycott, Divest, and Sanction. What its proponents say is it's mirroring what happened during South Africa encountering apartheid. In reality, it's not. There's a couple problems with it. First of all, if you are sort of seeking to, first of all, the basic understanding one needs to have is that what you have in Israel and between Israel and the Palestinians, it comes down to a land dispute. There has never been an independent Palestine, and therefore what often is called occupied territories are really disputed territories. If you are going and labeling in this area of dispute that you are only going to label products made by Jews, but you're not going to label products made by Palestinians, then ultimately that is uncomfortable parallels to what happened in Nazi Germany, where you said this, where you signaled out people by religion. If you want to label by origin, that's fine. There's also the issue that, you know, you've had decades of diplomacy, and in the year 2000, Bill Clinton made an offer to the Palestinians. In 2008, Ehud Olmert, the Israeli prime minister at the time, actually offered to give back more than 100% of the land so that no one among the Palestinians could say they were getting cheated. And first Yasser Arafat, then the Palestinian chairman Mahmoud Abbas, rejected this. And so what the Israelis say is if the Palestinians are rejecting any offer, even one that's more than 100% of the land, if they are denying Israel's right to exist, what can we negotiate with? And the third point, and very quickly, is, you know, people say, oh, the BDS movement isn't anti-Semitic, but when you are turning a blind eye to the slaughter of 500,000 people in Syria, when you're turning a blind eye to the incarceration of more than a million Muslims in China and signaling out Israel, you know, people, it doesn't pass the smell test.
Exactly. And it's been real clear, Tlaib's position, raised Palestinian. She has the Palestinian worldview. She's made anti-Semitic statements from the floor of Congress. I don't blame Israel for hesitating on this. And, you know, in light of what seems to be a bit disingenuous in terms of their purpose to come to Israel, you would hope that they would want to come there and, you know, discover some facts. But Tlaib is, at least from my purview, is pretty well fixed in her ideology.
Well, I agree with you there, Bill. Where I differ a little bit, you know, yeah, I agree that Israel's within its rights to deny. I think we agree that Rashida Tlaib is basically ignorant. She's ignorant to world affairs. She's ignorant of the conflict. She has absolutely no curiosity to expand beyond the horizons. She's making this trip with taxpayer money. It stinks. What I think the Israelis should have done rather than ban, however, is basically get someone like Ron Dermer. Ron Dermer, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, the son of the former mayor of Miami Beach, Florida, get him to publicly say, I'll debate you. You know, Israel has, the reason why people engage in this boycott movement is they can't win the battle of ideas. So what the Israelis should do is engage in the battle of ideas. You know, they can embarrass the heck out of Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And by the way, Bill, I just came back from Somalia, as you know.
Yes.
I was there for the past week and a half, and one of the biggest ironies that isn't getting press in the United States is just how much Somalis hate Ilhan Omar for what she's doing and for her anti-Semitism.
Well, man on the street interviews here in the United States in Minneapolis amongst the local Somalis. I got to tell you, I was surprised at how many said, "Hey, look, we'd much rather live in Somalia." And I'm going, "Well, okay, well, this is a free country. Why are you here?"
Exactly.
you know, and also the other stance was we'd much rather be under Sharia law. Well, that's not the way it operates here in the United States. So we're going to have this tension continue until somebody demonstrates some courage to say, this is the United States, and I think this is a rallying point for Donald Trump, because it is about America and the sentiment, and I would say growing sentiment within this country, which really blows, you know, the liberals and celebrities on down the line. It blows their minds that, you know, there are Americans that, you know, care about this country.
I agree. It's all about the Constitution, Bill.
Yeah.
That's why it's a symptom of how broken our immigration policy is.
Got to go to break. More from Michael after this.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
This is Dan Perkins from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Have you noticed that interest rates on home loans have dropped at least 1% in the last 6 months? Did you miss the opportunity to refi your home mortgage the last time interest rates were heading lower? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Get focused and know the facts of your existing mortgage. So go to the safe or the shoebox, wherever you have important papers, and look through it and find your mortgage. Next, look through it and find out these three things. When did you take out the loan? The year. How much did you borrow? The amount. And what is the interest rate? Percentage. Write this down on a sticky and put it on the fridge and start looking at bankrate.com for mortgage interest rate. If the new rate is 1% or more lower than the rate on the fridge, start looking at a refi. Remember, a refi puts money in your pocket. This has been Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middle men and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, the fact is we need millennials. We need everybody in this good fight that we're faced with, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to get this country back on track. Fresh and independent we are at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Michael Rubin, former Pentagon official, AEI scholar, resident scholar, continues with us. Michael, bottom line on Omar and Tlaib, do they go to Israel or not?
I think Tlaib will. She sent a letter to the Israeli Interior Ministry today saying she just wants to visit her grandmother and promising to refrain from any political activities. If she violates that, look, it's all in writing now. The question then, however, is why should the United States taxpayer pay for her to visit her grandmother? It's time that congressmen, when they just want to relax and play around, fund things out of their own pockets.
Well, here in America, her constituency seems a bit, and I'm talking about Omar's constituency specifically, seems to be bothered by her anti-American stances. I think it certainly is valid. We love the country that it is, a country of free speech, even though that is being threatened these days. And I think we're open, certainly, for representation from the Muslim community. But, boy, I'll tell you, it may be a bit too far that she's trying, and too fast that she's trying to, in terms of the viewpoint of this country that she's trying to force us into. What do you think?
Well, I certainly agree. You know, like I said in the last segment, I recently came back from Somalia, and in talking to officials there, one of them said basically, look, a lot of us would like to come to America, but you look at Ilhan Omar, she's still heavily involved in her own clan's politics back in Puntland, and when the Somali ambassador to the UN in Geneva actually raised the possibility that, Somalia has nothing against Israel, Ilhan Omar, using her congressional office, called the Somali president and had this diplomat fired. And the fact of the matter is she seems much more engaged in Somali politics than actually embracing the United States for all its glory.
And Michael, you brought up something interesting before, and that is whether it's Omar, Tlaib, Presley, or AOC, there's no debate. I mean, if there was a debate of ideas, I think it would be quite interesting, but the media has been giving them a lot of cover, especially AOC. She clearly has become their darling.
I think you're absolutely right there, and that's why the media has been hemorrhaging support in the public. When you look at what people think of the media and so forth, the media has no one to blame but themselves. But again, on this, I would blame the Israelis. I would also not blame the Israelis, but I think they're missing an opportunity by having someone like Ron Dermer, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, publicly challenge these guys to a debate.
Well, who knows? Maybe that would happen. I think it's a brilliant idea. Let's get the latest on Iran. The latest on the Strait of Hormuz. Where are we on this, Michael? Things have seemed to be a little bit quiet or quieting down here. So I don't know if Iran is waiting to exhale or what's going on.
Well, put it this way. One of the things we do know is that, the maximum pressure is working. Even the critics of President Trump's policy and Mike Pompeo's policy say that the reason why Iran has been lashing out the way it is because they're under tremendous pressure. And that's something which, ultimately I think can continue. Some people will say, hey, look, the United States shouldn't, Mike Pompeo's 13 points demanding that Iran stop terrorism, that Iran stop supporting proxies and so forth, that's just over the top. A lot of Obama administration alumni are saying this, but what I would basically say to them is you've lost perspective if you think it's an unreasonable demand to tell a country that if they want to be accepted into the modern world, they have to stop being a state sponsor of terrorism.
I mean, that seems to me pretty academic, but that's where politics has gone here in America. It's like we've lost our mind, have we not?
We've lost our mind, but we're following Europe by a decade in this.
Yeah, amazing. It's like we saw the results there, but I guess we're going to deny the empiric evidence, but that seems to be the case in some political circles. What about, are we losing North Korea? They're firing off missiles. Is this thing, just gone south?
Ultimately, look, you know how what I thought. Ultimately, we need to recognize that perhaps the North Koreans were never on board in the first place. One of the things that's been driving this diplomacy has been the South Korean government. The South Korean government, if you follow Korean politics, is basically sort of like Jimmy Carter on steroids. They're doubling down. They're like a gambler who thinks they can recover all their losses if they can just play one more round of blackjack, and they don't want to understand that their philosophies about North Korea are fundamentally untrue. I'll be critical of the Trump administration for following their lead in this. But that said, Trump offered a deal. North Korea basically hemmed and hawed. Perhaps they said yes, but they violated the understandings, and now there should be no confusion about where North Korea really stands.
Well, he's called the question in China as well, and it seemed that Xi had accepted it, but he couldn't sell it back home, right?
Well, this was one of the things I wrote back my book, when it comes to North Korea, my book, Dancing with the Devil,
right.
American Diplomacy with Rogue Regimes, is if you look back on the history of American diplomacy with North Korea, the only real victor has been China, because dating back to the Clinton administration, we've been giving China all these goodies. We've been giving them technology for their satellites, for their missiles, and so forth. If only they would use their good offices with North Korea, the Chinese have said yes and run away laughing to the bank. Ultimately, we need to recognize that these countries mean to end the post-World War II liberal order. They want to undermine, if not defeat, the United States, and we've got to stop pretending otherwise.
Exactly. Well, has Trump, in a sense, lost a little bit of leverage here because of the antagonism of the resistant Democratic Party to lead them to believe that maybe it might be to their advantage, whether it's North Korea, Iran, or China, you know, to kind of sit this out until the 2020s are over?
I think he has. Look, more broadly, I'm not going to blame Trump on this. National security has become a political football in the United States, and it's to the detriment of the United States and U.S. national security. I just talked about Jimmy Carter, for example, in a bit of a derogatory way, but if we look back at the Jimmy Carter era, even Jimmy Carter understood that communism was bad, and when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, he and the Republicans together boycotted the Soviet Union. They boycotted the Olympics. I don't think you would have any sort of action like that today, simply because American congressmen are so morally confused. And with that, we go back full circle to Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in some sense, this is where Donald Trump, punctuates the deal, because it seems that he's been pretty consistent in taking a stand on this stuff. And fortunately, we do have, you know, the strength of our energy sector, the economy. We have some positive leverage here domestically. And it does, give him, as the leader, as the CEO of our country, you know, some confidence here. I mean, if we had a lousy Obama-era economy, our position for negotiation would really be weak.
You're absolutely right there. And the other thing, which I think a lot of people don't recognize, Bill, is when we look at China, a lot of people think of the Tom Friedman columns and so forth, talk about the rise of China, but because of decades of their one-child policy, granted that that policy has ended, they're facing a demographic, basically, cliff, where their population is becoming older, the younger generation isn't keeping up, and because of that, they're looking at a very unstable future. Rather than talking about the rise of China, I think what Donald Trump recognizes is the conversation should be about the fall of China.
Yeah, well, and then whether it's North Korea, Iran, China, sanctions, some form of pressure, they're feeling the pressure. I mean, the streets are not, they're not quiet and peaceful. They're a bit restless right now, are they not?
They absolutely are. And again, I'll be a little bit critical of Donald Trump and his neutrality in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we want to do is we don't want to do what President Obama did with the Iranians in 2009, where we'd be neutral, though that seems to be what Trump has been. We can use our bully pulpit, because it's in the United States' interest not to have one Hong Kong, but to have 100 Hong Kongs around China.
Without a doubt. He's a former Pentagon official, AEL scholar, author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes, a must-read. Michael Rubin on Bill Martinez Live. Michael, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Are you occasionally stressed, feeling fatigued? It doesn't have to be this way. Support your body's response to all kinds of stress. Promote energy levels and nurture a sense of well-being with Quantum Nutrition Lab's Stress Support, B12, and Adrenal Support. For a limited time, all three are on special. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of the Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, a Muslim Democratic congresswoman from Michigan, is going to be allowed to visit Israel after all, as she was planning to on Sunday. Officials there have decided to let her enter the West Bank on humanitarian grounds one day after Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, had said she and fellow Democratic congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota would not be allowed to visit. Retired NASCAR superstar Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his family survive a fiery plane crash in East Tennessee. The sheriff there says the plane burst into flames after rolling off the end of the runway.
The nose of the plane and the door were intact. Beyond that, it's pretty much destroyed.
A coroner says the gunman in the shootings in Dayton that left nine people dead was on cocaine at the time. And this is USA Radio News.
This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck. This is truck oil. This is hunting, fishing, camping way off the grid oil. This is climbing mountains in the rain, snow, and mud oil. This is hauling the world's greatest tailgate party halfway across the country, oil. This is not top-down cruising to the corner store for cupcakes oil. This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck, just for your truck and SUV, oil. Find Shell Rotella Gas Truck at your local Advance Auto Parts today.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste in this. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with the America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. This portion of the show is being brought to you by Sovereign Laboratories. They're the makers of Colostrum LD. You've heard me bragging about them. Go to BillMartinezLive.com, click on their banner ad, and get back to the road of health. You will definitely feel the difference. And right away, too, I'll tell you, this is an outstanding product. I am so glad that I found out about it, and I am delighted to be talking to you about it. So check it out, BillMartinezLive.com. Click on the banner ad for Sovereign Laboratories and start enjoying better health. Why not? Professor is in the house. We're talking. Professor Wilfred Riley is back with us, author of the book Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War, as researched and written about by this political science professor at Kentucky State University. Dr. Riley, good to have you back with us. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Always glad to be back with you.
Well, we've got the five-year anniversary of Michael Brown, and probably one of the biggest hoaxes and lies that have been perpetrated and has done absolutely no positive good, if I can say it in those terms, for race relations, this hands-up, don't-shoot deal, and people still want to hold to it. You know, what is going on after it's been clear that Officer Wilson, he went through two investigations, and they were not light. I mean, this was even conducted by the Obama administration. They're going to cut him no quarter on this. And they decided that he was not in the wrong. And, I think it's sad that we lost a young man, that Michael Brown could not have been saved before he terrorized the community and was become, you know, from what reports have indicated, you know, the neighborhood bully, and he's with us no more. But we also lost a police officer, you know, somebody who that was his career, that was his desire to, you know, serve the community.
Yeah, I think that there's absolutely no doubt that, and this is the consensus in social science at this point, there's no doubt that the hands-up, don't-shoot narrative was entirely false. And that entire idea, that entire narrative came from the first witness reports on the scene to sort of local and alternative media after the Michael Brown shooting.
Mm-hmm.
People who were in the audience, almost random residents of the neighborhood, began essentially making up a narrative that said that the officer Darren Wilson, had shot Michael Brown essentially for no reason, that they had scuffled a bit, but Michael Brown had raised his hands above his head and said, please no, my hands are up, don't shoot me. Wilson had gunned him down in cold blood. It turned out that nothing like that happened. As you mentioned, Barack Obama's Justice Department did a very full investigation of the entire situation, as I think any Justice Department would do. Those are America's lawyers and lawmen.
Right.
And what they found was that Michael Brown had attacked Darren Wilson. These are big men. I mean, Michael Brown was, I think, 6'4". Darren Wilson was 6'3". They were both over 200 pounds.
Exactly.
There'd been what could have been a pretty bloody fight. Michael Brown's fingerprints and DNA were found on the slide of the gun, if you're familiar with semi-automatic weapons, on the trigger guard. Wilson finally leaned back and discharged a couple of shots, and unfortunately that killed Michael Brown. And obviously, if you engage in that kind of armed fight, you are taking your life into your hands. So that narrative turned out to be completely false. This is relevant because, as you mentioned in passing, I mean, a couple of the current presidential candidates just brought this up, right? I think it was Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren says that he was murdered.
Yes. Yeah, I actually responded to Elizabeth Warren on Twitter about that and went moderately viral. But I mean, yeah, she said that Michael Brown was murdered, and that this shows, I think the phrase was, America's disdain for black lives. And this again gets into people, this is the topic of my book to some extent, people almost making up hate crimes and racial incidents in a situation, I mean, American middle class life, where there often aren't any.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of Black Lives Matter was, well, we can talk about black crime, but first we need to deal with this situation of police officers murdering black men. And I think most people of good faith, including me, for the first one or two said, okay, let's analyze this, let's look at it.
Mm-hmm.
When people actually did begin looking at this, I mean, we found that the group most likely to be shot by police was poor whites, followed by recent Hispanic immigrants. 78% of people shot by the cops aren't black at all. Those cases just aren't discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more importantly, this is a little more controversial, most of the people that were shot by the police in the Black Lives Matter cases, certainly Michael Brown, weren't just calmly walking to church. I mean, Freddie Gray was a multiply convicted drug felon who was running from the police. I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Brown had committed a strong arm robbery that day.
Yes.
He'd gone into a convenience store, beaten up the owner, who was also a minority, tiny Asian woman.
Right.
And so on down the line. I mean, even the genuinely tragic cases, if you look at Philando Castile, it turned out that the shooter in that case was a decorated Hispanic and Native American sort of hero cop named Geronimo Yanez.
Mm-hmm.
And the altercation began not because they wanted to target an African-American individual, but because one of the major stores in the city had been brutally robbed earlier that day, and the robber looked exactly like Castile.
Mm-hmm.
So very few of the cases, Tamir Rice was a bit of a tragedy, but very few of the cases turned out to be real, and there turned out to be very few cases, and I think that's the reality of the situation. What Warren's referring to is the false presentation of what happened that we had for a while.
Exactly, and how could she come up with that when I believe the, you know, the evidence has been pretty clear of all things that she could pull up, but you know, this is again, I think, is, you know, kind of the go-to line of perspective that the Democrats want to put out there. They want to maintain this race war because they perceive it as some advantage. And hopefully, Dr. Riley, it's run its course, that there's enough smart people who have gone through this and realized that, you know, that's not the case, because not only was there a breakdown of law and order, but there was a breakdown of leadership here, you know, from the Obama, Justice Department in terms of leading the narrative, and, of course, local officials there in Ferguson.
Yeah, well, one of the things I say in my next book, Taboo, which is coming out this upcoming January, The Difficulty and Importance of Discussing Race and Class, but one of the things I say is that Barack Obama, to some extent, missed his Nixon and China moment. So there were things that Barack Obama accomplished. You can feel one of many ways about gay marriage, but that came out of the Obama administration. He and Mr. Bush worked together, ended the Great Recession, that's a fact. But the thing that the first black president could have done to set himself out from the pack is dramatically improve American race relations. And
was that the prayer of most voters, Dr. Riley?
Yes, of course it was.
I mean, maybe an unfair expectation when I talk with people of all races and that's almost the number one thing is that they and the biggest disappointment they had with the administration. They had only hoped.
Absolutely.
And I asked him, I said, do you think that might have been a bit unfair to put all that on his shoulders? And, you know, they paused for a moment and most would agree that, we're expecting too much, but that's what we'd hope for.
Well, he's the president. I mean, President Bush was expected to avenge 9/11. Presidents have a big pair of shoes to wear.
Right.
No, I think that with Barack Obama, one of the major reasons that Barack Obama, who is fairly inexperienced, he'd been an Illinois senator for 2 years. One of the reasons he was elected was that he was a confident, articulate black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that America had reached a point where a lot of people said, well, as long as he's reasonably well qualified, as long as he's a senator, we'd like a black president. We'd like to overcome the demons of the past.
Right.
And I think the expectation a lot of people had, and I don't just think this is the product of some research, is that Obama at some point, Mr. Obama, would stand up on the stage and say, I'm president and I'm black. And that changes the dialogue about race. Let's stop talking about oppression and racism and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start talking about how to clean up the last few remaining problems and then move on to a conversation about social class or about a new kind of patriotism. And I think that a big disappointment came from the fact that President Obama never did that. Instead, you saw what a lot of people interpreted as, I don't want to judge it, but what a lot of people interpreted as an alliance with or a sympathy toward black radicals or in some cases even criminals.
Exactly.
So, if you remember, Barack Obama said that his son would look and presumably act like Trayvon Martin.
Yes, right.
And that's a ridiculous comment. I mean, Barack Obama, whether you like him or not, is an educated upper-class man who was a U.S. politician for decades. There's zero chance that his son would have been involved in a physical fight at 2 a.m. wearing a hoodie walking over. That's not something that would have occurred.
Yeah, that seems incongruous, but we got to go to a quick break. More from Dr. Wilford Riley after this. Stay with us.
From the creators of War Room.
You need to do your fighting.
On August 23rd, the Kendrick brothers return to the big screen with Overcomer.
Well, I have a season with one runner.
One runner matters.
John Harrison is a frustrated coach questioning his value until he crosses paths with a student struggling on her own journey.
What have you allowed to define you?
When you find your identity in the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective.
Overcomer. In theaters August 23rd, starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shirer, and Sherry Rigby. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, visit overcomermovie.com.
Is that?
That's Hannah.
Run, Hannah!
You know, most people don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. You know, if we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes. See Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Getting America back on track.
The face of the nation.
You guys crack me up.
Bill Martinez live.
You ready?
Ready or not, we're coming at you full force, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Author of the book, Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War, as researched and written by the political science professor at Kentucky State University, Dr. Wilfred Riley, continues with us. Dr. Riley, you know, as you were saying with Barack Obama and the lost opportunity, and, you know, when you consider really just, you know, how far black America has progressed, I mean, here you are, you know, a black American, successful. We got Dr. Ben Carr. I mean, there's just a long line of successes within the black community that really stands in the face of, you know, these people that have an interest or pander an interest for, you know, reparations and other things. In fact, I was listening to a black man last night, and he was blaming the educational system, the poor educational system that was thrust upon his parents and upon himself. And, you know, you get into this victimhood mentality. And, you know, me being a Hispanic, I mean, I you know, people ask me about certain things and, you know, about prejudice and that sort of thing. And I said, well, I'm sure it happened. In fact, I know it happened in my career, but I chose not to focus on it. You know, my father had raised us in such a way that you wanted to be focused on the things that were good and noble and right. And that was a good guideline for me, because at the times when I got, you know, very frustrated and, you know, and angry was when, you know, I wanted to look at that. And I was able to decide early enough in my career that that wasn't beneficial for me.
Yeah, I think so. There are a couple of things there. First of all, I don't like the idea, which you see more on the left, that there's sort of one minority viewpoint. So an ex-girlfriend of mine, close friend of mine right now, is Hispanic, as 17% of the country is. And she's regularly asked today about her position on, for example, legalizing illegal immigration, which came up during the Democratic debate.
Right.
And her response is, well, I'm absolutely against it. I mean, like most Hispanic Americans, I'm in the country legally, and I've been here for hundreds of years. My great-grandfather fought the Americans, the Yankees, at the Alamo, whether or not that was a good decision.
Right.
We now have our ranch in Texas. So saying that I should be sympathetic to people that are attempting to enter the country by breaking the law because I have light brown skin is crazy.
Right.
And I tend to agree with that. I think also that you notice that there is among, I don't know about liberals as a group, but among activists, There's an active hostility to stories about minority success. So what you said is absolutely accurate. The black community, obviously, in practice, has made massive strides since the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 1960s. Whether you like him or not, the last president was black. Ben Carson, one of the current cabinet secretaries, is black. And that's been the case for multiple administrations, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice. One statistic that sticks out for me comes from the conservative eminence Thomas Sowell. But since 1969, you're talking about a few years after the passage of the Civil Rights Act, a black guy, a white guy, and an Asian guy, well, there's still actually some discrimination against Hispanics, but a black guy, white guy, and Asian guy with the same qualifications and credentials have made the same amount of money. That's true in the North and the South. So all of the yelling about individual incidents of racism, to some extent, is a distraction from the fact that the same guy across those great races has the same income and the same life. So the real question for minority Americans is about the skills gap or the training gap. How do you fix the problems in, for example, the black community, like the absence of fathers in more than 60% of black homes that prevent black people from having the same skills and qualifications? And all this ranting and raving, saying that the math SAT is racist, none of that does any good at all. That's just a distraction from the actual skills that we would need to succeed. That's
exactly. Right. I agree wholeheartedly with that, you know, with that point, Dr. Riley, because, you know, what is your target focus? And if it's victimhood, then that's the area you live in. And we've got to, you know, whatever we can do to get you out of it. Now, some of these things truly are systemic. You know, I think that some things have been stacked up unfairly. And I guess of all minorities, not just black Americans, you know, in terms of, you know, the educational system, that has been questioned. But, you know, the thing is that we've got to bring it to debate and do something about it, to your point.
Yeah, I totally agree. And also, I will say, when you talk about this idea of privilege, I won't go through the whole paper again, but as we've discussed, this is something I've researched. And what you find is that there are a ton of privileges in life. So everyone has something that makes them a little underprivileged or a little behind the curve. Jewish Americans face substantial discrimination. I mean, quite thousands of real hate crimes against that population every year. Gay Americans face more discrimination than anybody else. One thing I will say, poor whites are one of the most ignored groups in the country. I mean, that's a population that doesn't qualify for affirmative action or legacy programs by definition.
Right.
So almost everybody has something. I mean, you can be overweight. You can be short. I mean, I don't mean to be glib about this, but it would probably be harder to get an executive job as a man if you were 5'6" than if you were black.
Exactly.
Almost everyone has something that holds them back. So when you see another man or just another individual, you have no idea what their position is in life. I mean, someone's father might have just died of cancer. So when you say minorities face hurdles, my response to that would be perhaps 8% more or whatever on average, but everybody faces hurdles.
Exactly.
So, yeah. When you talk about racism, when you come to me with discussions of racism, you can't point to some broad, diffuse idea. You know, black people make 6.2% less money than white people or whatever, and we're going to attribute that to racism. If you show me a concrete incident of racism, a store won't serve African Americans, I'll fight it with you.
Exactly.
But the thing
right.
is, I think everybody at this point will fight it together. I think if you go to not an alt-right rally, of which there are about two a year, but if you go to a mainstream conservative event or you go to a large integrated church, it's not like people are going to be advocating for racial bigotry. So again, I think that one of the things you see is that to create this idea of prevalent constant racism, you have to almost make things up. You have to redefine fairly normal behavior as racist. So, I mean, the most controversial of Donald Trump's recent tweets came when he called the city of Baltimore, I think this is fair to say, they ran an editorial condemning him. He called the city of Baltimore dirty in sections, quote, and rat infested. And I think that that's just an obvious non-controversial statement, that the area of Baltimore where they filmed The Wire is in the hood.
Right.
And this prompted this screaming, frenzied reaction. The tweets were called racist in the Washington Post and so on. And that's the type of, quote, unquote, racism that you see today when people are discussing race issues. When someone says they've encountered racism, they never, ever mean five white guys or five black guys beat me up with sticks. Never.
Right. No, it's you can't call out discrepancies. I mean, you know, the people of the country have invested over $16 billion in Baltimore, and what do we got out of it? You know, 2 decades ago, Elijah Cummings himself talked about it, you know, about Baltimore being rat infested. And so here we are 2 decades later, billions of dollars invested in that community. And what do we have? I mean, we could have done so much more just even with $16 billion, not the total amount that has been invested in Baltimore in terms of improving schools and doing the kind of things that should be done on behalf of the citizens there.
Yeah, I think that we've gotten to a point where pattern recognition is often condemned as racism.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you look at the most violent cities in the country, one thing I'll tell you is they don't actually all have race in common. We tend to stereotype black cities. But if you look at Stockton, California, that's a mostly Hispanic and poor white city.
Right.
I mean, there's no shortage of crime in, I don't want to criticize a major city in my state, but Lexington, Kentucky, which is by no means majority black, West Virginia, Charleston. But the most violent cities in the country, Little Rock, Arkansas, very integrated, they all have one thing in common, which is that they are led by, I would say, hard left-leading political administrations, and they have a large concentration of poor people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you relax policing standards in a city where you have the potential for a lot of crime, I mean, this is two-step analysis, you're going to get a lot of crime.
Right, exactly.
If you say that, and this is true for purely white cities, too. I mean, Antifa is directing traffic over there in Portland. I mean, but if you say this, the immediate response is, well, that's racist. You are criticizing the political party that freed African Americans. You are criticizing a style of governance that often involves black leaders. You think of Marion Barry in D.C. So your criticism of Baltimore must be motivated by racism. And I think at this point, you have a pretty diverse group of people with a job saying, no, my criticism of Baltimore is motivated by the fact that they've had, 250 murders so far?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and rats are running rampant around there, and it's a mess. So you want to clean up, you know, can we clean up the city here on behalf of the people there, because you're leaving them vulnerable. I think right now, I got to tell you, Dr. Riley, I am concerned that we're going to have a plague outbreak because of human feces in the street, all this degradation in these cities, regardless of they're run by Democrats or not. You're talking human beings are going to be left vulnerable because of the disease and, you know, the mess that is there. It's unacceptable. We didn't grow up with this. And here we are in the 21st century America. We're dealing with this.
Yeah, and I actually grew up in a tough working class neighborhood, but I mean, we didn't have rats running around. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. Now, I will say, I think that political discussion, including my participation in it, leads a little toward the histrionic. There's not going to be a national outbreak of plague or something, but will you see locally, in fact, in San Francisco, I believe there has been at least one report of bubonic plague.
Right.
Because what you think of as, there was an interesting article written during the 1960s called something like Relearning Civilization. And they were talking about how people in the hippie communes had essentially abandoned mainstream rules as being kind of the man's repression. So things like you could maybe politely call it intimate hygiene for women, or trimming your beard, or taking regular showers. People just stopped doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the side effects was that they started getting these literally medieval diseases like scabies that no one
yes.
has had in a while.
Right.
Because people had started washing themselves hundreds of years ago. So in some of the cities that have agreed to be, you hear the term sanctuary city, you hear the term sanctuary.
We've got about 15 seconds left, Dr. Riley. Go ahead.
There's a lot of problems if you abandon civilization. We shouldn't abandon civilization.
And end of that, Dr. Wilford Riley on Bill Martinez Live, author of the book Hate Crime Hoax. It's linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Dr. Riley.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930.
800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Most of you.